Yo, welcome to the podcast. It's Joshua in the building, and we got
Sage Riker.
So today we're talking about robotics and robots. So what do you think about them? Like, just give me a generalized view about it.
I think robots are actually really, really helpful because they can do a lot to keep humans safe, especially in lines of work that weren't necessarily as safe as they are now. Like in factories, lots of deaths in the 1900s. I don't know if you were aware of that. You know, 1800s, 1900s, deaths were crazy.
But would you classify, like, machines as robots? Wouldn't they be different, though?
Well, yes. Yeah, so they are different, but there are robots in factories now that are just, like, they're there to, like, they facilitate the machine so humans don't have to. So humans can be, like, farther back away from it, making sure that it's, you know, made well or whatever. Make sure that robots are working. You know.
Well, you know, now, like, robots are a big thing everywhere. So do you think that we've reached the capacity of what we could make or do with robots?
No. I think we could do a lot more with robots. I just think that in order to do more, we have to be very, very careful ethically. 'Cause we are capable as a human species of creating robots that are more like us. I don't want to say like us, like in the Terminator style.
Oh yeah.
Whatever.
Like, go back in time.
You know, I don't want to say like that. It's just more like we are capable of making robots that do things that we do on a daily basis, which would make life easier. It would just also probably take a lot of jobs out. And with that, there's this idea of, well, what are the people that we make jobless going to do with their life now? Like, what are they going to do for money? And that's what I think a lot of people make mistakes, assuming people are just going to be out with no job. Making things like that means that there are more jobs. It's just more robot-related. So a lot of people are going to have to go to more STEM-related fields.
Oh, yeah. But, like, isn't that what AI is doing right now? Like, people are losing jobs. I heard Duolingo fired their whole...
Yes. Like, AI, it's a very sketchy thing. I don't like AI.
I've heard.
I know you have different opinions on that.
Hey, I gotta get my homework done.
I don't think we should be using AI for that, but, you know. I get the appeal of AI. AI is good in some things. Like, it's really good medically right now because AI is being trained to detect cancers. And as somebody who has two parents who have cancer right now, it's just really important to me to see AI actually develop well in the medical field. Because it makes life a lot easier to be able to detect things faster. And AI does do that. So there are good parts to AI.
Yeah, everything has its pros and cons.
Yeah, I mean, that's just normal technology stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to robots. Well,
right.
Where do you see robots in the future? Like, let's say 5 or 10 years from now, since you think there's more to grow, right?
So right now there are some companies who have been working on making robots more, I don't want to say human-like, but they definitely look more human
humanoid.
Yeah, they look more humanoid than they did in the past. And I can definitely see us being able to make robots like that so they can do stuff for us that, you know, we don't have to do at that point. They're just there to complete work that humans don't necessarily need to do. And I mean, humans do need to do a lot of stuff. I'm not saying that we don't. It's just, it's gonna make life easier, as all technology does. But I can also see robots doing a lot for space exploration and a lot for, you know, working in the ocean. Because as we know from some events that happened in the past, humans aren't necessarily designed to go into the ocean.
Okay.
In a submarine. might be a bad idea. But,
We should send down a Tesla car.
That's such a bad idea. No, but I can definitely see robots just, like, growing and expanding our knowledge of the universe. Like, space exploration, it's at this point, we've reached the moon, but we have sent robots to Mars. And I think we can do better than that. I think we can send robots farther out. And I don't know, maybe we'll find aliens.
Oh,
Be pretty fun.
okay. Well, that's a big statement. Well, would you, is there anything specific you expect from like robotics to like help you, like let's say in your daily life or at the household?
So, I'm planning to become an agricultural engineer. So
Okay.
that's something that robotics is actually impacting a lot more than people really think. Robots have been doing a lot to help with irrigation systems, make it easier for farmers to actually grow their crops. And so as an future agricultural engineer, it's going to be really important for me to, have a solid understanding of robotics. And so, yes, it's going to impact me a lot more than it's going to impact other people because it's going to be in my field of work.
Oh yeah.
So,
Is there any specific way like you thought about using robotics in your field? Like,
Soil systems.
okay.
There's a lot of problems right now with farmers overusing their soil and making it more difficult to necessarily, I don't know, grow crops, which is obviously a problem for us. We need food.
Yeah.
Crazy. We don't just, charge.
Hey,
We're not
robots could
phones.
replace that. Like, once we're out of here.
But I mean, robots can definitely help forge a path within, soil fields and whatever, and trying to figure out how we're gonna make irrigation so it isn't necessarily gonna damage the soil in like 10, 15 years. Because that's a lot of things that we're running into
Yeah.
now. A lot of the things that people came up with are just really bad for the soil, and we don't understand that until maybe 10 or 15 years down the line, and we're like, oh, that soil is unusable now. But robotics can change that. So
Yeah,
it's
I've been reading a lot about like soil depletion of nutrients in the soil, like, but how is robots gonna help? Because it's something natural, right? So
Robots can replenish the soil. And when I say that, what I mean is they can go down under, I don't know, ground, I guess, and bring up soil that we haven't used yet. And that soil is a lot more, it has a lot more nutrients that we just can't access at this point in time. But robots can, and robots will
Okay.
be able to.
Is this something that's already there, or did you just make this up?
I'm not making this up. This is something that is like, people are looking into it, and
Oh,
it's something
okay.
that, like,
Hey, you might have just given out $1 billion idea there.
my fault. But it's something that we can
Yeah, that
definitely
makes
do.
sense. I've been working with like Arduino board and soil
Right.
moisture sensors. Like,
Right.
it checks out like
Yeah.
the level of moisture there is in the soil.
Yes.
I don't know how that works with nutrients, but I've worked on projects trying to implement it, but
Right.
I took different paths.
That's fair.
Yeah. Have you worked on any projects yourself?
So my aunt owns a farm, which
Oh,
is
okay.
great for me.
Yeah,
Hence
like
the agricultural engineer,
you're
kind of had it
like your
since birth.
experiment.
But I've been working on some stuff on her farm specifically because, I have that. I can use that as like a
Yeah.
resource for how I do stuff. And a lot of robotics does actually help. Like I've proven with my aunt's farm that we can grow crops not only better, but we can also make them more nutritious, which is a weird thing to say. It's a really weird thing to be like, whoa, robotics actually makes everything better? What? Like, I don't, it's a weird thing, because I'm not somebody who grew up liking technology. I actually
Okay.
hated
That's
technology as a kid.
okay, that's
Which
yeah, no, I
was,
didn't expect that.
no,
I've never Wow.
I
Okay.
hated technology as a kid. So for me to like be able to say and genuinely say we can make the world better with robotics, it's a wild thing for me to like
Yeah,
comprehend.
that I didn't expect that, 'cause from what I know, you're just like obsessed with technology.
I'm not necessarily obsessed. I've grown up with it a lot, and I don't like it, but I can see why it's useful.
Okay, that makes sense.
I do touch
Well,
grass,
you
Joshua.
do. Yeah, Wow. Well, you say that you don't trust technology and that. Are you ready to give robots access to your farms?
Yes, I am.
Yes?
Within reason. Like, I'm not gonna say a fully autonomous robot should be on any farm. It shouldn't. That should never happen. That's a terrible idea.
But how do you control it then? Wouldn't that be a harder task though?
It would be that it's not necessarily. It's a difficult thing to have farmers, you know, use robots because a lot of them aren't trained for a lot of technology, you know. Mm-hmm. And so teaching them that would be difficult, but in the long run, it would make a lot of farmers' lives a lot easier. So it's something that would have to be taught for sure.
Yeah, but don't you also see this as a way to take farmers' jobs? Like, some people, like, take it as a cultural thing, you know? Like, let's say back in India, people grow, like, working on farms. Like, they would not want to give it to others.
Right.
They, like, riot against big companies because it's their land and stuff.
Yes. No, I completely understand that. I do. But I'm not saying robots should plant the fields. I'm not saying they should, you know, do anything that actually grows the crops. What I'm saying is they need the robots in order to replenish the soil.
Oh, it's just a specific task. Nothing else.
I don't trust robots enough for that. If robots start touching my food, I might. I don't know.
Start feeding you with a fork.
Ooh, I don't think I want that.
No, but like, wouldn't it be easier to grow crops? Like throwing, like, you know, seeding stuff. I mean, machines already exist to like seed and harvest.
Yes.
But wouldn't it be easier with robots? Like an autonomous vehicle.
Yeah, but I don't trust autonomous vehicles at all. I don't trust.
Dude, there are so
autonomous.
Many things you could do agriculture related and with robots.
Yeah.
And why do you trust it with just soil replenishing?
I don't trust technology enough to touch my food. That's why. If
okay.
you talk to anybody else who actually trusts technology and knows enough about agriculture, I'm sure they would tell you, fantastic idea.
Mm-hmm.
I, however, no.
Okay.
No, I'd rather not.
Okay, so it's more of, like, not that deep into agriculture. It's just, like, taking care of the soil.
Yes.
Like,
but soil weather? Is agriculture. So are water systems. Those are...
Okay.
Those are agriculture.
Yeah, those are, but, like, if you're getting to, like, seeding or harvesting,
no,
you're,
that's,
like, no.
That's a purely human thing to do. Not
purely
robots should not
to
be
do.
Doing that.
There are definitely people out there who find it tedious and, like, want to get rid of it or find easier
well,
ways.
Then go find another farmer to take your land. I'm sure there are plenty of people willing to buy your land.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's a comment. Okay.
You find it tedious, find somebody else to do it. I'll
wow.
do it. Matter
You'll
of fact,
do it.
Hit
okay.
me up.
Well, that makes... Okay. Well... How do you get interested in all this? Like, what made you like robots or agriculture?
So
I'd like an answer for both.
Both.
Yeah, let's go with agriculture first.
Agriculture? So
yeah.
I grew up in a very, very small town in southerner. It's like more southern of Indiana, but it's not really south
mm-hmm.
Indiana. So I grew up in a really small town there where almost everybody's job is either you're either a farmer or you make stuff out of leather and metal. That's like your
okay.
only options in life. Like you have no
that's
other
like
options.
Cold Indiana at this point, bro. Like everywhere I go, all I see is farms.
Yeah, well, no, not necessarily. It this is a smaller town. Like this, there aren't even roads to this town. Like
oh,
you shouldn't
okay.
have to use a train to get there. It's that
wow.
small of a town. Like it's
okay.
like a really small town. So I
okay.
got because I grew up. Until I was, like, six,
mm-hmm.
thinking that I had one of those three options. And as a woman in that town, I really only had one. I only had agriculture. That was my only real option. So, I mean, I grew up thinking that was my option. Then I moved out of that town, and I moved here to Carmel, which, huge life change for sure.
Yeah.
But, agriculture is just, it stayed with me.
Okay.
So robotics, on the other hand, I got into because my cousin... Great guy. Love him.
Oh, yeah. I know about
it. He was so heavily involved with an FRC team.
Mm-hmm.
And because of private things, I was always with him. So I ended up at this team just as a kid. And then I just kind of never left.
Okay.
And since I'm in high school, I probably won't leave now. Although that's, I don't know. It's a
that's...
iffy subject right now. But I don't know.
Okay, so tell me more about this club you're in.
So Tech Hounds is
Wait,
essentially.
I'm no disclosure, by the way. I'm already in this club, so
Yeah, you are. This is true.
yeah.
Absolutely
So
true.
like I don't know why I'm acting like I don't know what this club is,
Yeah.
but tell me more about
Okay.
it.
So Tech Hounds, which is an FRC, it's an FRC based organization, I guess. FRC stands for First Robotics Competition and is a program under FIRST, which is a nonprofit organization that stands for Inspiration, Recognition, and Science and Technology. Nailed it. I
That
know my
was
acronyms.
impressive.
I know my
I don't think I would remember
acronyms.
that.
But it's a FRC is a hard thing to explain, but it's basically a robotics team for high school students, where you build robots, but not only that, you also get the community aspect with outreach and then at competitions. So you compete in alliance of three, where basically you have your robot and then you have two others. So during playoffs, you assuming you did well, and let's say you ranked one in qualifications, then you get to choose the next two robots that you're with.
Okay.
So with that comes a lot of things like scouting, which is a strategy-based thing where you just watch the robots and what they're capable of doing. You also watch teams and drive teams and see how those actually work well together. If they work well with your team, if your driver hates another driver, you probably shouldn't choose that robot. That's like a bad choice. I don't care how well that robot does. Like, if I had been, let's say I'm an amazing person and I am the strategy lead of 2910, I would not have willingly gone with Madtown Robotics if my driver hated Madtown Robotics's, driver, which is a weird thing to say because if you're smart, you should go
Yeah.
with those teams. But, like, in that case, it's just kind of how that works.
Okay. Well, for people who don't really understand what you said with all the numbers
Yes.
and stuff, so each team gets a number, and I think you stick with the number for
Yes,
forever,
you
right?
permanently have that
Yeah,
number.
that's your number, and you're like with two other teams.
Twitter.
And you've been given a task, supposed to like complete stuff in a given period of time. Supposed to work
Yes.
well with the other people too,
Yes.
because it's a team. No sh. Yeah.
Yes, and then for further clarification, 2910 is a team called Jack in the Bot. They were one of the world's best robots for this year specifically. Same with Madtown Robotics.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we did good. We got pretty
We
close.
did good. We're good for a FIN team. FIN, by the way, stands for First in
Oh my
Indiana.
God. Another
Oh
acronym.
yeah, all the acronyms.
Well, let's go back. Like, how do you think that FIRST and your love for agriculture works together? Like, you know.
That's actually a
Like,
really good
I know you
question.
like both of them a lot.
So FIRST is kind of it's helped me a lot with my technical skills, that help me more with, how I go about trying to figure out things on my aunt's farm that I wouldn't ordinarily be able to do. Like, if I had no experience in FIRST, I would not be able to do the kinds of things that I do on her farm.
Okay. Is it like with tools and machinery
So
or?
I build my own robots outside the club, which is
Okay.
pretty hype. I don't know. I'm gonna hype
That's
myself
pretty
up.
sick.
It's pretty
I've
sick. I
started
like it.
recently, like you know
Yeah,
about it.
yeah, yeah. But I build my own stuff. So the knowledge that Tech Hounds has taught me has gone so far in making sure that these things actually work and they're not just like random inventions that,
Oh yeah.
random child in the middle of Indiana makes.
Yeah. Well, are these like specifically for agriculture, like the project you worked on, or like,
They
can I know
could,
about what they
I guess
are?
in theory, they could be used
In
for other
theory.
things. In theory, but I haven't actually used them at all for anything
Do you
else.
want to give like an explanation of what they are? Or you don't
It's
want to give out
kind
your
of
billion
hard
dollar
to
idea?
explain. I don't know
Oh,
if I can
okay.
do that. It'd be really
Well, try
hard.
to like summarize it, like put in like three sentences. What does it do?
I guess for one of them, It's like a really, really, really specialized drill that also has a shovel. I'm gonna go with that. That's
okay.
Like a terrible, terrible explanation.
That raises more questions, to be honest. A drill that is a shovel. Okay.
I can't. It's a hard thing to explain, especially since I don't have them with me right now.
Yeah, that I get that.
So like, I can't. It's a hard thing to explain. So let's move on from that.
Yeah, let's move on. So how does like FIRST really work? You say you talk about outreach and different divisions, right? Like
right.
Different parts of a team.
Yes. So for TechCon specifically, we have 4 divisions, and then we have separate side things. So we have our robot ops division, which is essentially they do everything mechanical on the robot, and they also build our bumpers, which. They don't matter enough to explain what they are, but like they
yeah.
do everything mechanical
mm-hmm.
for the robot.
They basically build a framework of the bot and
yes.
design it.
Yes, essentially they are like they're the mechanical engineers of the team.
Yeah.
Right. And so if we're gonna break the divisions into separate engineering jobs, I guess you can't really do that for business. But like,
wow. I mean, it still could be a job.
It can be, but it's not an engineering job. So then we move on to our newly dubbed division framework, which
mm-hmm.
used to be called construction, and for the sake of pettiness, I will continue to call it construction. Anyway,
wait, they changed the name?
Yes, they changed it to framework. Did you not know that?
What? Okay, I didn't know. What?
Okay.
It's framework now?
Yes, it's framework now, which is why I'm going to call it construction, because let's be real, nobody understands
it.
What
is construction, because
it is construction.
It is construction.
You're
built.
Basically,
okay.
What construction, also known as framework, does is it builds the field for whatever game is
mm-hmm.
put out by FIRST that year. And they also do various different jobs regarding small projects for the team. Like, we do stuff for sponsorships. And then they also have a very, very, very small part in scouting, but, like, not really.
So they basically rebuild the whole game?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
A miniature version, or like exact, like same.
So it should be the exact and same.
It
but,
should be.
Depending on the lead we have each year, that varies. Some leads make some very interesting choices.
Okay. Let's move on.
I'm not saying anything about any past leads. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't
yeah.
always work out that way.
Hey, every team has its pros and cons,
mm-hmm.
so.
And then we also
things
have,
happen.
Yeah. And then we also have our programming / electrical division. Contrary to the acronym, they don't actually, they're not very fit. Anyway, PE, they are basically the software engineers and the electrical engineers of the team, which is really funny because I'm going to be an agricultural engineer and I come from that division. So,
I mean, I see you everywhere, to be honest.
That's
so.
True.
Yeah.
I am essentially everywhere, but I main in PE. Maybe not next year, but
mm-hmm.
whatever. They also do IT work, so like they do websites, they do web dev. And they do well. Okay, so they also do the scouting system, like the scouting system itself, which is an app. It collects data of sorts
mm-hmm.
about the team, whatever.
Other teams. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess and the team too. Cause
okay.
We,
yeah.
All teams in like whatever competition we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our business division, which is also paired with outreach, which affects community, obviously. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of where the whole outreach name comes from. Outreach does things like women in tech events, youth in tech events. They also do a summer camp, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah,
know.
Isn't that sometime the next 2 months?
Yes, it is. It's in, what, July? Yeah, in July, like the 21st to
oh,
the
yeah,
25th.
Yeah.
Something like that. And outreach, it does all our community-based work. I don't know why I'm calling them a they. I'm also involved in outreach, but...
yeah. Well, I'm there, too.
Yeah, we both
I know what's
are.
Going on.
I
know what's going
they.
On. I know what's going on in
I
there.
I don't know why I'm saying they.
It's like, there's just, like, 5 of us in there, right?
There's,
I don't see many people,
so
to be honest.
Audrey, Marin, you, me, who...
Tamana.
Rachi.
How do you forget Tamana?
No, because
I mean, that was...
She's graduated.
Last year.
She's graduated. I count her as graduating.
Okay.
So we have... really 6 people involved, but there's a lot more who say that they're involved.
Like, we have ex-members, too, who come in and help.
Yes, we do. And then business does all the PR stuff, social media, newsletters, everything that's, you know, related to the actual public, other than, like, outside of community stuff, which is why outreach and business are kind of paired together. But
That's interesting.
Yeah. But essentially, that's all the divisions we have in Tech Hounds.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I should have mentioned we took a break, but we're back now. And, so you were talking about, like, how Tech Hounds work and how FRC works. So, what do you do? Like, I know you're a big scouting person. What do you do in general? I know you, like, you work with PE, scouting. So, what do you focus on?
I don't really have exactly one focus. Mm-hmm. I do work in almost every division, more or less. Like, for construction, I played a really big role. Yeah, it was construction last year. I can use that. So, for construction, I played a really big role in sponsorship gifts, which is one of their main responsibilities outside of building the field. And then in programming electrical, I do a lot of work teaching rookies or first years how to, like,
actually... Oh, yeah, I was one of them.
You were. You were one of my rookies. I don't think I did a great job, though. I kind of pushed you into outreach.
No, I did the PID stuff. Yeah. I mean, Jawzip.
You did.
PIDed? He kind of helped me. I mean, he did. Yeah, he did. I shouldn't be throwing out names, but...
Yeah, let's not throw out names.
I mean, he did help me, but he did. No, he helped me. He guided me to the right path.
Joseph is a great guy.
He knows his stuff.
Yes. Okay. So, in PE, outside of, like, actually teaching rookies everything from programming stuff, or at least trying to teach rookies programming stuff, it's kind of hard when you have, like, 20 plus rookies asking for your help, and you're like,
Oh yeah.
So I can only guide like 4 or 5 of you at a time, but love ya.
Sage, what's drivetrain?
Oh my god, I hate that question. The amount of times that I was asked that, the drivetrain is a subject.
Nah, I was kidding. Let's not get into that.
Subsystem, and I'll teach you how to program it.
Yeah, I'm gonna put Sage's Instagram, phone number, everything, and you can hit her up if you have questions.
Hey, I mean, if you have questions, just don't be weird about it. Outside of teaching rookies, I do a lot of electrical work myself. I wrote some code for subsystems. I also, like, help actually modify code later, and I help work with, like, how to make the robot actually work, because we have a lot of code, we have a lot of people who submit code, and the code works to an extent, except it's not that great, so it's like I have to spend time working on modifying that to make it actually work, and then have all my work modified by somebody else who graduated from the team, but we don't talk about that.
Yeah, I remember how it used to work. I was working on the website, like, doing the sponsors.
Yeah. Yep.
And I put things up there, and then you still spend days working on it.
Oh, yeah. No,
and I remember you, like, up at 3 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Me at 3 a.m. working on our website because it was never good enough. Cheap memories right there. And then I also spent a lot of time managing the people working on the scouting system, which became a very... I didn't expect it to become that much of a vital part of my life after that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. How does scouting exactly work? Not exactly work, but give us a brief description of scouting.
For scouting, there are maybe five or six different scouting systems that we use in the state of Indiana, right? And the main one that most teams use, especially a lot of small teams, is ISA, or the Indiana Scouting Alliance. So the Indiana Scouting Alliance is basically just a conglomerate of people who all work for one goal, having data at competitions. Now, it's not always reliable, which is why Tech Hounds uses, we use our own data. We use stuff from Hound Scout, which is our scouting system. And we spend a lot of time modifying the front end, the back end, everything about it so that it's perfect. Unfortunately, this year it had some problems, so we didn't end up using it at Worlds when we got there, which I also, I have opinions on that too, but.
Okay.
No, but for the state of Indiana, like, there are different types of scouting as well. Like, the systems that I mentioned, ISA and Hound Scout, those are two online systems. But there are teams who do not use online systems. They use paper scouting, which is...
Oh, what?
Yes, paper scouting is a thing. It's very difficult to organize, very difficult to deal with, and something that I almost had to deal with at Kokomo.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's pretty bad.
Writing down points for each team or something.
Yes,
like that?
No, that's exactly what
really?
You do. And you write down how many misses. You write it's like
wow.
It's a whole thing, and it's like, good golly, I don't know why anybody would willingly choose to do that.
Hey, let's save paper, okay? So
yeah, let's save paper, guys. Let's use Hound Scout ISA 1807 system. Shout out 1807, we love you. At least I do. You saved us at Worlds for real. but. I don't know. Scouting, you have, like, so for Hound Scout, we have six people who kind of just sit in the stands and watch robots.
Oh, I remember that. That was...
yeah, you were, yeah.
I was there. I was looking at everything.
Yep. Just sit there and watch the robots and write down every single move that they make. and then we have the seventh person involved, which would be me, ordinarily. Who is trying to manage every single scouter, trying to make sure that the system doesn't fail, which is a regular problem, but we didn't have as many this year as we have in past years, so that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to, like, cry half the time.
Okay.
Is managing the spreadsheets, is managing which robots we actually should alliance with. It's a lot of work.
Hey, we have a huge team. We should, like, put people to work. Come on.
Yeah.
I was there.
This is true, but I kind of had my six scouters that I kind of, like, I got really comfortable with them because
mm-hmm.
at Kokomo, it was only them because there were very few people who actually came. So it was, like,
oh, okay.
I used them, and then they were there at Washington, and they were down to be scouting. So I was like,
mm-hmm.
okay, fine, sure, I'll use them again. So I got really comfortable with my six scouters.
Yeah, Sage has trust issues, as you would know from the beginning.
I do. I have a lot of trust issues. And then at States, it was like, well, they're there again, and they're down to scout. So might as well, you know?
Yeah.
So it ended up being just, like, the same six people,
mm-hmm.
which was fine. I don't think they enjoyed that very much. Sorry,
Kay.
Guys. Love you.
Well, how do you think robotics teams or programs help shape the future of robotics?
So I don't think it's the programs themselves that really shape the future of robotics.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more the students who come out of those programs.
Mm-hmm.
Because those students end up having a lot of technical knowledge that they can use in college. Which gets them into higher and more advanced programs, which then from there, they become, like, some of the top engineers in the world. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, well, they got here because they were in, you know, a program that's from robotics. So it's like, FIRST itself is a really, it's a great thing sometimes.
Sometimes. But.
but it also has its downfalls, because, like, FIRST can also be a really stressful place, and that's how we get people who, you know, that's how we get engineers who don't actually want to be engineers, but they got pressured into it, or, we get people, or we lose people who would have been excellent engineers, could have done so much good in the world, and it's because of FIRST that they were just like, you know what, I'm a business major now, and it's, like, good for them, but at the same time, they had so much potential, and it's just, like, I wonder how many times FIRST has, like, accidentally lost us a great engineer.
Yeah, I feel like if you love doing something, you gotta be, like, passionate about it instead of being pressurized into it.
Yes.
Which a competition definitely brings out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, would you promote people working on by themselves for, like, smaller projects? Like, what do you think about that?
So, if you want to work by yourself on a smaller project, sure, that's great. But
mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily promote working by yourself. I think
okay.
it's great to work with somebody else. I personally work with another one of my cousins down in on my aunt's farm to, like, come up with all these things that I do to, mm-hmm. like, just improve my aunt's life. And, you know, Tommy's and Bill's. Love you guys. but I don't think that working individually isn't going to get you, like, the great results that you want. It's going to be working in a group.
Okay.
That's going to be doing that.
Because for me personally, I feel like when I'm working on something, I'm more efficient and faster instead of dealing with other people and their problems, you know?
Sure, but, and that's true. Like, if you're working on something with one set goal and you know exactly mm-hmm. what you're going for and you don't want to make any improvements to that whatsoever, then that's fine. Working by yourself is fine because you know what you want. That's more efficient. But if you want something that you're actually going to want to improve, it's always best to just have a second person there who's like, hey, what if we maybe consider trying this? And sometimes it's great to be that person, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
you know, like, give your thoughts and inputs so you can make something better, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we've been yapping about robotics and TechHound and FIRST for, like, I don't know, a really long time, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about something else.
Oh, okay.
The other day, you sent me a reel, bro.
Oh, which reel?
You know which one I'm talking
which
about.
Reel?
It was, so the reel said, would you rather pick a perfect stone or a perfect rock or a perfect pick? Or a perfect stick, I'm sorry.
And you chose the stick, as I recall.
Wait. So, like, I know people can't, I wish they could see what I'm explaining, but, so I'm going to paint a picture. So the perfect rock was, like, perfect circle, smooth, flat rock, right?
Yeah.
And the stick, it had handles and, like, a whole cool, you know the thing right above the handle, like a flat, I don't know what it's
like
called.
Like a blade?
No, the thing, and
the
then
hilt.
The, yeah, that,
the hilt,
the hilt
yeah.
and
it
then
like
the
a
blade.
Sword.
It looked like,
a,
it was so cool, bro. it was a perfect stick, you know, like, the guys would get it. And for some reason, she chose a rock.
I would take the rock. I am just saying. Like, comparatively, the rock is a better choice.
How? Like, it's... Dude, I need reasoning. Cause
I get the stick is pretty cool.
It's
like,
it's so cool.
I love that for you. I love that you adore the stick. But, the rock... I'm just saying, you could use it for so many different things, you know?
You can use a stick for so many different things.
What,
I would be flexing on all my friends, but
you're
I would, like...
You're gonna get bored of carrying it at some point and just leave it, like...
Yeah, I'll put it on choke... I would, like, frame it and put it in my room, because it's so cool.
Like,
What would you do with a rock?
I'm sorry, but I could carry a rock.
Why are you carrying a rock?
Huh?
Why are you carrying a rock?
Why wouldn't I carry a rock?
What?
I don't know, self-defense. Like,
dude, you can use a stick for self-defense.
Not if it's too big. Like,
no, it's a perfect stick. That's the whole point.
If it's a perfect stick, it can fit in my pocket. But then it would break, because that's not how sticks work, so.
What? Nah. But it's a perfect stick, bro. You're not getting it. Okay. Let's try to, like, actually debate, like, decent individuals. Give me your point on why you would pick a rock.
The rock can fit in your pocket, okay? So theoretically, if some guy walks behind you and attacks you and you don't see it coming at all, like, you could hit him over the head with the rock and it would work. You cannot hit that guy with the stick.
Wow, okay.
This is self-defense purposes only, guys.
You sure about that?
I do not condone violence.
But, okay, see, I would agree if it's a rock, if it's, like, a long distance, long range. Or if the person's close to you, you would want to use a stick.
No, you
or
wouldn't.
To be honest, you would show him the stick and tell him it's a really cool stick.
That's not how that
and
works.
And he would become your friend after that.
I don't think that's how that works, buddy.
Dude, if you had a cool stick, you would know.
Sure. I'm still here with the rock, but you know what? I respect your opinion. You can have the stick.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the stick. I'll take the rock. Take
yeah,
it.
That yep. works.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to leave you guys with that, and I hope you stay in school and don't do drugs.